demonstrated a spiritual principle that ought to give every believer a reason to shout.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's last message in his series on the life of Abraham. In the first part of this message, which aired last week, Pastor Grant spoke from the Genesis account of how Abraham's long life of faith, characterized by pursuing the purposes of God, marked the secret of a fulfilled life. And as he concludes that message this evening, we will hear of the legacy of this great man of faith left to his heirs, centered on the inheritance guaranteed to the son of promise, Isaac. Pastor Grant will go on to show us from the New Testament how the guaranteed inheritance of the heirs of Christ far exceeds the inheritance promised to God's earthly people, the Jews. Please turn with us again to Genesis chapter 25 and listen as Pastor Grant brings the second and concluding part of this message, Abraham's Legacy of Faith. Here once again is Pastor Grant.
Salvation is only the first step, because there is more. He says, only those who obey me. So listen, here's what I want you to get across. All Christians are children of God, but not all Christians are God's friends. Not all Christians are operating in that relationship. Not all Christians are close to Him. Not all Christians are in this fellowship with Him that is so close that He would... Some of us don't even know when He's speaking to us because we're distant. And so this morning, listen, this morning God is saying to you, are you really wanting to find fulfillment? Don't just get saved, but make a commitment to obey me. Make a commitment to follow me. Make a commitment to have me achieve my purpose in you. But point number two I want to make, what else does Abraham, what else does his legacy show us? His legacy shows the superiority of the believer's inheritance. Thank you. They realize they can't trust me with another glass. I've been known to have problems with glasses. But I can never remember when I was a youngster. My dad used to go around Jamaica preaching, and one Sunday, almost every Sunday, we were from some other part of the country preaching. And so the particular Sunday was a bad Sunday for me. Number one, this man had a farm, and he had a tractor, and I figured it was time to drive. And so I jumped on the tractor, started moving all this thing. All of a sudden, the tractor started rolling, man. We shouted, we couldn't stop the truck, couldn't jump off. We crashed into something, and that's how we stopped. So that was not a good thing for a visitor to crash into the man's, mash up the man's place. And then we go inside, and they're feeding us supper. Do you know, they gave me a nice glass, one of their special things. Do you know I bit the glass? I literally bit up a big bite of the glass. So I don't know which one is worse, biting the glass or breaking the glass. But number two, Abraham's legacy shows the superiority of the believer's inheritance. You say, Brother Brian, where are you getting this from? You know, Genesis 25 introduces us to six additional children that Abraham had. What a thing. God had done a miracle of sorts. When he was 100, God did a miracle, and Abraham found new life that never died. Somebody say amen. Can you imagine that when Sarah died, Abraham was 137 years old? And can you imagine that sometime after that, the man had 6 more children after she died? I don't know how quickly he started, but he must have taken a little while. So can you imagine this man, 150, 100 and whatever, he's having children. I wonder how the kids felt at parent-teacher's meeting. Zimran, is that your great-grandfather or your great-great-grandfather? Zimran say, it's my daddy. What, your daddy? Abraham had just died, though, in Genesis 25, and we're well aware of the drama that happens when someone dies. You ever heard of family drama? I'll spare you this story. I was going to tell you a story about family drama. I'll spare you the story. I think all of us know about the drama. The sweetest, mellowest, quietest little lady can become the most aggressive person when she thinks our inheritance has been compromised. There is a lot of drama. People come home and all their stuff is gone because they came to claim their inheritance. But Abraham decided, you know what, I'm going to solve this problem. And so did you see what he did in Abraham in Genesis chapter 25 verses 5 and 6? Do you see what happened? It says, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, and while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east. Abraham took action to avoid any family drama. God had made it clear that Isaac was the son of promise, that Isaac was the son through whom he would carry out his plan. So before Abraham died, he took action to protect Isaac. He gave each child a gift. Don't miss this, please. Don't miss this. He gave each child a gift and sent them away. But to Isaac, the son of promise, he gave him all that he had. Abraham demonstrated a spiritual principle that ought to give every believer a reason to shout. You say, what's the principle? Listen, Galatians chapter 4 verse 28 says, now you brothers and sisters like Isaac are children of what? Promise. Don't ever miss that. Isaac was the son of promise, and every believer in Jesus Christ like Isaac is the child of promise. So here's what I want you to know. God's inheritance belongs only to the children of promise. You see, the world may receive a gift. Oh, you can put that one on the board, my friend. God's inheritance belongs only to the children of promise. Amen? The world receives many gifts. Matthew 5:45 tells us that God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. That, you know, they get some gifts, but we don't just get a gift. We get the entire inheritance. Amen. Sometimes people get jealous of the Jews. And they say, why are the Jews so special? Why did God specially choose the Jews? And they are special. But I just want you to know, I'm not jealous of the Jews. Amen. Because the inheritance that we have as believers in Jesus Christ is superior. Do you know that? The believer's inheritance is superior to the inheritance of the Jews. The Jews are God's earthly chosen people. But I know that we, the church of Jesus Christ, are God's what? heavenly chosen people. We have inherited all that he has. Oh, I hope you're getting it. I hope you're getting it. We are ears of God and joint heirs with Christ. Let's look at some of the verses that talk about this. Hold your Bible still there. I'm not done. I don't think in Genesis. But let's, in the meantime, go to Ephesians. Ephesians. When you get there, say amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all, or my Bible says every, pick whichever one you want, all. You see, Isaac got all. God says here, we've got all, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. We're blessed with every blessing. Then by the time you jump down to verse number 11, here's what he says. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of the glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is what? The guarantee of our inheritance. Oh, hallelujah. Our inheritance is guaranteed. Amen.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
It's not guaranteed, you know, the guarantee is only as good as the guarantor. Am I right about that? You buy stuff, you buy that fridge from that company, and they gave you a lifetime guarantee. They went out of business. How good is your guarantee? The guarantee is only as good as the guarantor. That's why I'm so glad that the person who my inheritance is guaranteed by the bank of heaven. Amen. Never go out of business. It's as eternal as God is eternal. It will last forever. And my Bible says this inheritance, we have inherited all that he has. This is why, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't even realize what you are missing out on. That you have all the resources of God. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't think sometimes we as Christians realize what we have. We don't have a gift. Child of God, you don't have a gift. Abraham's other children got a gift. Isaac got everything. And God is saying he has not given you a gift. He has given you everything because, like Isaac, we are the children of promise. And I bless his name. No wonder 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, it is reserved in heaven. Listen, we not only have an inheritance, it's guaranteed and it's reserved in heaven. Thank God we have a superior inheritance. And the legacy of Abraham teaches us that the believer, the superiority of our inheritance. But third, his legacy give affirmation to the believer's hope. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 8, It says here, then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. You know, sometimes when we read that verse, we miss it. We miss two big things. I shared before, the first big thing we missed is that full of years is not just talking about his age. And the other thing we miss is when he was gathered to his people, he's not saying he was buried with his relatives. Guess what? How could he be buried with his relatives? There was only one relative of his in the entire land of Canaan. One. Sarah. So it's not speaking about the destiny of his body. It was speaking about the destiny of his spirit. And it was saying Abraham's spirit was gathered with his people. We don't have time to turn there, but Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13 tells us something about these people. It tells us that these were those who died in faith. You can read that on your own in Hebrews 11, 13. These were people who died in faith. So let's get this. Abraham was gathered with those who died in faith. This gives affirmation to the hope of all of us who die in faith. Because we as believers realize, listen, and you can put this in your notes, believers will all be gathered with their people, the church. Believers will all be gathered with their people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, and we put it on the screen for you, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all. Oh, please don't leave off that word all. Amen. The word all, believers will all be changed on their way to heaven. It is saying we're not going to all sleep. By sleep is saying some of us have passed from this life to the next. Some of us may have died by then. And what the word of God is telling us, that when the Lord Jesus comes, we will not all sleep. Some will be dead. But listen, whether you're dead or alive, the Bible likes to use the word sleep. Sleep, because it's letting you know it's just a temporary sleep. But whether we had a funeral service for you or whether we did not, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we shall all be changed. Oh, some of you may have acrophobia. Acrophobia is a fear of heights. If you are acrophobia, if that's what you suffer from, you need not worry. Some of you may worry about flying. You don't want to fly because you don't want to be up there. But I want you to know when Jesus comes, you need not worry. Don't worry and say, I don't want to go to heaven because I'm scared of heights. Because this little body ain't making it up there. This body is going to be changed, amen? He's going to give us an incorruptible body, a body that cannot feel pain, a body that cannot get sick, a body that cannot get old, a body that cannot die. A body like what Jesus has. My friend, what a hope, what a blessed hope the believer has. And this morning in Sunday school class, as we talked about this hope, we're saying it's not only a blessed hope, it's a purifying hope. Because when we live in light of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again, it impacts our life. The problem is sometimes we don't want to think about Jesus. We're just all down here. We're still in the I and my category. I'm all about I and my. I'm not about Jesus. Keep on being about I and my. You're going to miss the fulfillment that only Jesus Christ alone can bring. And so this morning I want to challenge you. Hey, if you're not a Christian, you need to come to him. Because get this, if you're not a child of God, who are your people? You see, everybody is going to be gathered with their people. I don't want you to miss that. There are two groups, you know. The people of God, the members of the congregation of the saints, those who died in faith will be gathered to their people. But those who say, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that Jesus, these church folks, no. I prefer to take my own chances. You're going to be gathered with your people. Two different destinations. One, hallelujah, heaven. We're going to be with Jesus. Those who say, nah, I'm going to be with the movie stars. I actually saw a program on TV on ABC some years ago. It was on ABC, and I was shocked. Some people say, I'd rather go to hell. They said, we want to go to hell because that's where all the hot people are. That's where all the partying is. It's really happening in hell. There's a lot of partying. All the cool people are going to hell. The cool people are. I saw it. We were having a young adult fellowship. We stopped the fellowship, everybody we watched. We couldn't believe it. People, listen good. There's going to be a lot of noise in hell. But the Bible doesn't say it's parting. The Bible says it's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible said there's going to be a lot of bright lights there. But the Bible says strobe lights. It's the blazing fire of hell. A fire that the Bible says cannot be quenched. This morning I'm going to ask you, my friend, which people are you going to be gathered with? Are you going to be gathered with those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior and have received him as Savior? This morning you can receive him. You can invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. You can say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. And so far I haven't paid you much attention. But God, I want you to change me today. I want to find fulfillment in you. I want to follow you. And if you're here, you're a Christian. You're saying, I want to be God's friend. Like Abraham this morning, God, I am willing to follow. Lord, I have been following my own program, but this morning, I want to follow you. Heavenly Father, help us now. Cause that in this moment, there might be those who will say yes to Jesus. That there might be decisions that are being made for eternity. The person who needs salvation, bring them to the cross, we pray. The Christian who has so far been satisfied that they're on their way to heaven, but has not really given their whole, has not sold out, has not made that commitment to say, Lord Jesus, I want to walk with you no matter what the cost. Help them to make that commitment today. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now. Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.